Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
This is Sports Overnight America with your host, Jeff Rich.
Hello, everyone. Good evening and welcome in. It is Sports Overnight America. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. My name is Jeff Rich. I'm coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. By no coincidence, also from Phoenix, Arizona, we've got Jen Rich just across the table here. How are you doing?
I was just trying to think how far I'd have to go in any direction to technically be in a different city. Like, where could we set up a table on the border of, I guess it'd have to be Phoenix and Scottsdale, so we could be in pseudo different places, but still
you
together.
You could just go to your office, too.
Yeah.
Ryan is far away from us organically that we wouldn't have to pull any stunts. We've got Ryan Leong joining us from Northern California this evening. And Ryan, I was commenting to you, before we went live here, that it had been more than a year, and I think that I was off on it, but been a long time anyway since I've had you on the Sports Overnight America show. Welcome back, and how are you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Doing well, like yourself. We're still sort of just keeping our eyes, I would say, somewhat peripherally on the nature of sports and the games that are going on. But here we are.
Do you think that there's anything of local interest for you to look forward to in the Bay Area in the coming weeks or even months?
The 49ers right now. I mean, they had a very impressive Week 1 opening against the Pittsburgh Steelers at the formerly known Heinz Field. I don't know how to pronounce the name of the new whatever the new corporate name is of their stadium, but
I believe it's Acrisure.
Acrisure, I guess, is the name. Yeah,
and it's also the name, Jen, of the arena in Palm Springs.
I forgot that it was not Heinz Field anymore. I'm still gonna call it that because, obviously.
Yeah,
right? And the thing is that it's unfortunate. Like, I'm not big on corporate sounding stadium names, but when there's certain companies that are, embedded in the culture of where they play, then that is something, and the Heinz company is they're headquartered in Pittsburgh, and so it was a natural fit that they had the naming rights for the football stadium for so many years. As I mentioned, the Niners had a really impressive Week 1 opening. I think people were really excited to see where they can go this year. And
wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between, you have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number.
Don't miss our Labor Day special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Labor Day.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or two savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now, are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
School!
Back to school is on, and Staples has great prices on everything you need for your best year yet. Save on headphones and laptops. Save on notebooks, pens, and all the essentials. Priced low and still in stock. And right now at Staples, 24-pack Crayola crayons and comp books are only 50 cents each. Plus, select notebooks are just 35 cents each. School on, save on at Staples, where school savings are always in session. Ends 9/16. In-store only. Limit 30.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America with Jeff Rich.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Sports Overnight America. Jen Rich with you from Phoenix. Jeff Rich still sitting across from me. I haven't moved the table to some weird bordering town so we could be in different places. Still have Ryan Leong hanging out with us. When you're not listening to us live, make sure you check us out on the social medias at What's Up Riches at Jeff Rich Talks. Ryan, you still at Ryan Leong?
Yep.
Yeah,
we're,
cool.
I still call it Twitter. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Whatever we're calling Twitter or T or X or whatever.
Right.
And then at A Girl of Many Hats. And, of course, don't forget the Sports Byline Network at Sports Byline USA. Yeah, usually I have questions. Just going to ask Ryan to pick up where he left off before we stopped for a little commercial break because he was heading in a good direction.
I just said I was mentioning that, you know, I think people are really excited about the 49ers. I think, you know, a lot of people keep feeling that they've been right on the doorstep of getting to the Super Bowl, and you know they've had each of their last two seasons end at the NFC Championship game, but they have so much confidence now with Brock Purdy that they were willing and did let Trey Lance go for a fourth round draft pick, which is I guess basically giving him away for nothing considering how much they had to spend just to get him in the first place, but they do get a break in the salary cap by letting him go. And the Niners really looked unstoppable in week one against the Steelers. So I think people were super excited about that team. And there's always a certain level of excitement with the Warriors, just given the fact of how many NBA titles and playoff appearances they've been in. So those are the two sports I know for sure people are excited about.
Well, I'll tell you what, I watch Brock Purdy, and, you know, there's a little bit of a hometown bias that I have for him living in Phoenix, knowing that, you know, he took the offer to go to Iowa State, otherwise he was probably going to be looking at, FCS or Division II schools, and he turned into an NFL prospect, Mr. Irrelevant. He is by far the most relevant Mr. Irrelevant last player taken in the draft ever, as far as I'm concerned right now, and he's just got a certain poise to him. Certain poise that I remember seeing with Montana, a certain poise that Peyton Manning lacked, but Tom Brady had, and I definitely see that with Brock Purdy and the weapons that they have on the offensive side of the ball are just disgusting. Everybody likes to talk about Travis Kelce, but George Kittle is something special for the Niners, and the defense was spectacular a year ago, and they look better than even the Cowboys defense, who shut out the Giants, even though Pittsburgh managed to put 7 points on the board. They were not relevant at any point in that football game. So super excited for the Niners. And reciprocally, I am sorry for the people of Los Angeles and San Francisco and Seattle, because they have to watch the Arizona Cardinals play twice if they want to watch their favorite team. And, you know, unless they're one of those rare Los Angeles Chargers fans, but I haven't heard too much from them or about them just yet. So Niners look good. The Seattle looks very pedestrian. Arizona looks really bad, and I think the Rams blowout in week one is probably least indicative of what we can expect to see from all 32 teams in the league over the next 17 weeks.
Yeah, it remains to be seen how it's going to go. I mean, it's only one game, but that's why you usually have to give it a couple of weeks. I think usually, like, you know for sure, if a team is winless after week four, your season's over. I mean, you have to you ideally should be, what, 2-2 after four games if you're going to be a team that's going to be contending, right? And you know, of course, the more wins you have, the better. But I think at the very worst, you want to be 500 after four games into the season. So I think that's the first marker when you're really going to decide where your season's going.
Yeah, and I think that it's ultimately going to come down to San Francisco and Philadelphia. So, you know, I'm going to ignore 18 weeks of data, and I'm going to say that the NFC is going to come down to one Sunday in January between Philadelphia and San Francisco. And, of course, I guess that data that I'm ignoring could set up who has the home field and who has the easiest road to said NFC championship. And of course, you know, they can meet beforehand if they don't end up 1-2, you know, if they end up 1-4, for example, based on regular season records. But I am not impressed with the NFC on paper. But having said that, you know, they go out there and, you know, Green Bay looks great with Jordan Love having the reins for the first time. And Philadelphia looks suspect in the second half. I thought that, you know, obviously San Francisco looked solid and Dallas looked very solid. So there were some good football teams that, I don't know, I'm not saying that they surprised me, but I'm saying that their efforts need to be recognized for what happened in week one.
Yeah. I mean, again, I just think, you know, everybody gets really excited when you get that first win. I mean, I'm sure people in Detroit were just elated that, you know, they beat the Chiefs, and it's the first time that Patrick Mahomes has ever lost in the opening week of week one of football. But again, it's going to be a long ways to go. I mean, you it's only the tip of the iceberg when you have a 17-game schedule.
Yeah, and I think that the Chiefs, you know, they're not doomed. I don't think that the Bengals are doomed. I think that Pittsburgh was as bad as I thought that they would be, especially going up against San Francisco's defense. Check this out. Cleveland plays in Pittsburgh on Monday, and it is the first time that the Browns are favored at Pittsburgh in such a long time that none of the rostered players for the Browns were alive the last time the Browns were favored in Pittsburgh. And the only Steeler that had been born at that point was the veteran Cam Hayward. So you know, that's a definite dominance that carries over from Three River Stadium to whatever they're calling Heinz Field now.
Right.
So let's kind of circle back to the corporate naming thing, because it does drive me crazy. You know, what happened for the Browns was very fortunate. The power company in Cleveland ended up in a scandal. It was First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, and there were city council members in Cleveland trying to force the Browns' hand to drop the you know, the corporate naming rights sponsor. Because of the humiliation that they caused, and, you know, because of, you know, they basically ripped off subscribers is what I think it came down to. But, you know, there's some parts that you're just never going to jump, you're never going to jump names with. I know that there are people that will never call the Cleveland baseball team the Guardians. I know people that have never called it Progressive Field, and it was renamed in 2007. I mean, it's been 15 years at this point, and you still got people calling it Jacobs Field. South Side of Chicago, I don't know if I can keep up, Ryan. I don't know if I could keep up with whatever they're calling Comiskey now, because they change them so often.
Guaranteed Rate, I think, is the company that owns them now. But, yeah, I mean the thing is, the thing I find really unfortunate, and I talked to Jim Rosenhaus, I guess, is the backup play-by-play guy for the
– Well, he's the primary on the West Coast. He's the primary because Tom Hamilton doesn't take those trips.
Yeah. But I told him, I said, you know, it's unfortunate that you can't even call the team the Tribe anymore, which is how I used to always refer to them, you know. So
Well, you can, and you should. Yeah. I definitely still refer to the team as the Tribe, because what it is a gathering of people with the same goals in mind. So I'm fine calling them the Tribe, even if they are the Guardians.
Well, yeah, and I always find it funny that, you know, if you happen to be, for instance, you know, let's say you're Jewish, you know, that's actually kind of a moniker for other fellow Jews to refer to themselves, right? Are you a member of the Tribe? Is what they can often ask each other.
Yes, sir. And you know what? I ask that question sometimes, and it makes it, when I ask them if they're members of the Tribe, it usually happens before like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And they respond and they assume that I am, because I asked the question in that matter. And, perhaps I shouldn't. Perhaps I'm appropriating culture, but I don't really give a damn. I'm going to throw it to a break right now. On the other side, Jen will bring you back. It's Sports Overnight America. We got Ryan Leong hanging out. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-433-0539. 800-433-0539. 800-433-0539. That's 800-433-0539. Paid for by Fix My Student Loans.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America with Jeff Rich.
Hello again, this time from the Sports Byline Update Desk, where I'm usually almost always keeping score, but I'm going to forego it today because it's been a really long time since we've spoke to our buddy, Ryan. So I'm just going to let you guys commence.
Well, you know, Ryan and I kind of, I don't want to say we reconnected, because it's not like we were ever, you know, there was ever a wall or anything. I mean, the conversation, line of communication is always open between the two of us, but it was our trip to Anaheim to, follow the Cleveland ball, follow the tribe.
What time?
And, Ryan did remind us that that they would be up in San Francisco on Monday for a midweek series, including they had a getaway game, like 1 o'clock or noon local time in San Francisco on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was like 12:45 specifically. Yes.
Okay. So and they do that to get home, and I'm not even. This is how bad it gets once once a team that you follow, I don't want to say religiously, but closely. Once it kind of falls apart, and we all got the feeling that it wasn't going to happen. They played two series against the Twins. They performed really well in Minnesota, but the Twins don't lose in between that series, so they're still five games back. They essentially needed to sweep a three-game series at home, and the Twins took two of three, and that was kind of it. They were seven games back with 4 weeks to go, and that Giants series didn't go well for Cleveland either. And meanwhile, Minnesota's playing Tampa Bay, and they're beating them. So I know a lot of Giants fans have felt that the season should have been over for them a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, and they want Kapler gone. Is that just the people I'm talking to, Ryan, or is that a real sentiment that exists up there?
No, that's a real sentiment that exists up here. I think a lot of people consider this series kind of an aberration, even though the Giants took the series. They lost, Cleveland lost both games in extra innings. And a lot of people here just don't like Kapler's way of just, he's a real heavy analytics guy. And a bigger concern is that the players, and I sort of see this myself from what I'm able to watch, you got some guys that are playing with some energy and some spark, but a lot of guys look like they're going through the motions. And we all know that professional athletes get paid very well. And I think when you have a sport like baseball, where you have guys getting guaranteed contracts, there's just not a lot of intensity behind a lot of players' willingness to really want to go out there and really give it their all. You just don't see it the same way you used to. I mean, pitchers, just don't pitch that deep into games anymore. Everything is on a so-called pitch limit. A lot of guys don't even get extended past 80 pitches nowadays, and 100 being the absolute max. So if a pitcher's like, let's say he finishes an inning with around 89 pitches, there's a pretty good likelihood that he's probably not going to come back for another inning, just because, he's not going to throw a 10-pitch inning. He's probably going to throw maybe 15 pitches, and that's already putting him over 100. So a lot of times managers nowadays just decide to forego putting him back in for the next frame and just let a reliever come into the game. So that all said, plus Kapler's just – I mean, he knows how to talk to the media, but I just find that everything he says is almost like everything sounds somewhat cliched, and he just doesn't come off as a very genuine person. I'm not saying he's mean or anything, but he just doesn't. I don't know. He just comes off as like somewhat robotic. He's not the kind of guy that Bruce Bochy was, where you really felt like you could always sort of talk to him, and he wasn't a guarded person, even though he's got the microscope on him with TV cameras and reporters and notebooks and whatnot, but there's just a sense that there just isn't the same kind of personability with Kapler that you had with Bruce Bochy.
I it's funny that you say that, because that was going to be my follow up. Is Bruce Bochy just a difficult act to follow?
Yeah, he is. I mean, and even when Bochy first came to the Giants, and I've been covering the Giants since Dusty Baker was managing, and so when he first got to the Giants, Bochy came from a situation where he was highly successful in San Diego, and he was kind of put into a really rough situation in his first season in San Francisco because it was Bonds' unofficial last year, and Barry Zito was there to start this huge contract that he couldn't live up to.
And it was not a surprise either when he did not.
Right, and even from the very beginning, you already were like skeptical that how's he gonna do, and he did actually, in my opinion, pitch up to expectation or lack thereof. But the one thing that Zito did do is he made every single one of his starts. Anyway, the problem was when Bochy was being interviewed, he would get hit with these same questions after every game, especially after Zito hadn't pitched another loss or a disappointing outing. And he would never get upset with the media, but I remember he would sort of stare at you and give you this blank glare, kind of maybe indicating his displeasure or his irritation with your question. But he would always be a stand-up guy and still answer you. And I think over the course of time and then winning three World Series, he became a beloved figure. And he's forever going to be etched into the minds of Giants fans as a legendary manager. So, yeah, trying to follow in the footsteps of that is going to be difficult for anyone. And Gabe Kapler had a couple of years managing the Phillies. He was an okay manager, and he's had one great year where he somehow got lucky and got the team to a franchise best 107 wins. But I mean, I just don't get the sense that he's the kind of guy that players go crazy for. I just don't hear that sentiment, and they all play close to the vest. But I just find that everything within the Giants for the most part is very businesslike, and it's not very personable. The one exception being this one pitcher named John Brebbia, who's become kind of a new sort of a Brian Wilson kind of character. He was on Sunday Night Baseball, and he just does some quirky stuff, and he's got a great personality. I think he's headed for the broadcast booth once his career is over. So he's probably putting himself in line with that by showing off his personality and becoming kind of a fan favorite and a media favorite by his quirky personality.
All right, Ryan. I got to check out your the AAA affiliate of the Giants, the Sacramento River Cats in Las Vegas, and they did beat Las Vegas on this particular night. But I'm going up and down the lineup there, and this is about a month ago. And I see Joey Bart's name in the lineup, and part of it is that I just don't follow the pipeline as closely as I used to. But I didn't see anybody in Sacramento that looked like a recognizable name that I was going to see play for the Giants and to get excited about when he gets there.
Well, maybe some guys got sent back. I mean, there's a guy named Marco Luciano who's a highly rated prospect. He had a pretty, I wouldn't say it was a splashy debut, but he's a splashy name. He came up and played for the Giants. He's got a couple of hits, including his first home run. I believe he got sent back down to Sacramento. Kyle Harrison, who pitched the finale against Cleveland in the game on Wednesday, he ended up getting a no decision, but he got rocked pretty hard. He gave like four runs in the first inning. But he's got electric stuff. He's a left-hander, so he's another name. Patrick Bailey is his catcher for the Giants, who's not been hitting that great, but he's got great skills at catcher, especially his throwing arm. I mean, he's got a better throwing arm, I think, than even Buster Posey did, and that's saying something because Posey was known for his ability to nail runners with relative ease. So, and I think it's even tougher now for catchers because they all catch from this one knee stance because it's easier to frame pitches that way. But it's harder to, I think, sometimes maybe get throws off because you are catching from a knee, so your balance is a little bit off. So yeah, the Giants have some players here. One other player is Luis Matos. He's another guy who's got a really strong outfield throwing arm, and he's got the ability to make contact. But yeah, I wouldn't say that any of the Giants guys that are in the chain from the minor league system are really eye-catching names that people get excited about. And I find it that even though they're only a game out of the third wild card spot, the Giants should feel very fortunate because I just don't see them as a team that really has any kind of real star power or anybody who really scares you when you look at their roster and their lineup.
Yeah, and that's a big problem. I wanted to follow up with you on Bochy and the current situation in Texas, but we'll hold that for the
the next segment, because you alluded to not really caring for the new age of baseball, the stolen base rules, the ghost runner on second, the pitch clock, and you didn't mention all of these things, but would you like to go back to the other extreme, like the dead ball era, maybe a little bit after that, when you know teams carried nine pitchers, period. Now teams put nine pitchers in their bullpen, sometimes 10. But would you prefer to go to the days where the starter would throw a complete game, even if he gave up six runs in the process?
Sure. Guys, Babe Ruth actually pitched a game in 1933 where he did exactly that. He pitched a nine-inning game. I think he gave up 12 hits and five earned runs, and he got the win. That's, of course, back in the 30s. But you had guys, you know, doing what you're talking about well into the early 1980s. So it's really not been that long ago where you still had guys that were throwing a decent number of complete games. It all really changed after about the early 80s, where it slowly but surely developed into a bullpen game. And by the 90s, you started having all these specialists come into ball games.
Yeah, and the loogie was one of them, and this three-batter rule really eliminates the strength of the lefty one-out guy. I love to see complete games, and I'll tell you what news, push notification bothers me the most about baseball is updates on combined no-hitters. And I know that Corbin Burns kind of pulled a Warren Spahn the other day, going into the 10th inning, but I would much rather see that become commonplace. I'd like to go back to 20-game winners and 300-game winners, and I think that that's going to be an extinct product. Especially because I thought that CeCe Sabathia had an honest crack at it, and what he finished with, like 220 wins. So, the standards are definitely going to change for the way that we look historically back at the game and this era and the era that will follow it. Right now, it's time to say hello to everybody listening on the AFN, the American Forces Network. We appreciate you here at Sports Overnight America. You're listening to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, and we'll be right back.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab of Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the #1 dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max. It's back to school season, and teachers, parents, and students from kindergarten to college can find everything they need to succeed at Office Depot Office Max. With savings up to 60% on the company's best-selling school supplies through September 16th. And must-haves like Crayola products, spiral notebooks, composition books, and glue starting at just 50 cents, Office Depot Office Max is ready to kick the new school year into gear. Shoppers can get even more discounts and earn rewards towards future purchases with a free Office Depot Office Max Rewards membership. Need your school supplies fast? Customers can take advantage of the company's free 20-minute in-store pickup or opt for same-day delivery for qualifying orders. Office Depot and Office Max stores are supporting hundreds of Title I public schools across the country with an in-store donation program. Make a donation at checkout to help a local school in your community get new supplies to create a more productive learning environment. Visit officedepot.com/backtoschool.
Are you looking to sell your house? Call 1-800-SELL-FAST to request a free all-cash offer. We can buy your house in days, and you don't even have to clean or fix anything. There are no commissions or closing costs, no agents, no open houses, and no banks to deal with. Call 1-800-SELL-FAST or visit sellfast.com to request your cash offer. There's no obligation. Call 1-800-SELL-FAST. That's 1-800-735-5327. Or visit sellfast.com to get your free cash offer. SELL-FAST is a home buyer referral service. Each office independently owned and operated.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get four lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. So add those human pawns, I mean loved ones, and save money. Thanks, kids. They're finally worth it. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Get four lines on Silver Unlimited for $25 per line per month, plus taxes and fees. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com.
Now back to Sports Overnight America with Jeff Rich.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Sports Overnight America. Thanks for staying up with us. We're live at 10 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Thursday night. Sometimes they'll play us on the weekend, but we're certainly not live at that point. Privileged to be joined this hour by our man, sports reporter Ryan Leong from San Francisco, California. We reacquainted, for lack of a better term, over the Cleveland team that I don't care about playing the San Francisco team in the sport that Ryan's having a hard time really getting into these days, and for reasons that we've spoken of in previous segments. Jen, I want to bring you back into the conversation here a little bit and talk to you about stadium names, because we've mentioned it a few times throughout the show. You largely root for teams, at least your Chicago teams. That's to say nothing of what's happened here locally with Phoenix teams. But the Cubs play at Wrigley, which is more after the original owner than the Gum. Or is it one and the same?
They're the same.
Okay. Would it be
except you ask me these kind of questions and then I start questioning myself.
Would it be devastating?
But they're the same, right? He brought the goat to the game and they were all like, "No, you can't have your goat here," and he's like, "Suck it."
So chew your gum.
Chew your gum and shut up.
So would you feel bad if like if Wrigley Field became Best Buy Field, for example? Or would you just keep calling it Wrigley?
Yeah, because I haven't stopped calling any other stadiums by what they previously were.
Yeah, you don't even know what the Coyotes Arena was called, when they last played in it, do you?
Mm-mm.
I know that it was sponsored by one of the casinos, maybe, but I'm not certain. How about the Suns Arena? It went from being...
It's the Footprint.
It's the Footprint Center now, but I think it was Talking Sticks Resort Arena prior to that. And I think it was just the Phoenix Arena for, like, half that season.
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. I think that there's certain terms that you use and...
I think it depends on what they're changing it to, like, what the company is. Like, when they renamed it Footprint Center, that was a little weird. No one knew what Footprint was.
Well...
I still don't know what it is.
I do because they brought that brand awareness to me. I'd prefer it still be called America West Arena, but there's no America West anymore. Yeah. And there's some insurance companies like the American Family Fields in Milwaukee. You could kind of think of that as not a corporate name if you're not thinking about it too hard. Or like in Cincinnati, they have the Great American Ballpark. Those feel like, just names of stadiums, but there are some like, the Miami Heat Arena. When I saw a game last November there, it was called the FTX Arena, and it was like the week that the guy was being busted for fraud charges for that particular virtual coin. Ryan, feel free to jump in here. Did the Giants Park lose any of its identity going from Pac Bell to AT&T to I missed the SBC part, and now
to
it's
Oracle. I mean, originally people would call it, even though the technical name originally was Pacific Bell Park, they would call it Pac Bell. People sometimes would call it the phone booth, but Pac Bell was the name that a lot of people still call it by that now. They sometimes just call it Pac Bell. Or they just say they're going to the Giants game. I mean, I think a lot of people just try to avoid using these corporate names, but they're just inundated now all over the country. There's just so few stadiums now that don't have corporate names. It was kind of interesting to see that the Angels went back to calling their ballpark Angel Stadium. They haven't had a corporate name for a while now. They had this company called Edison for back in the early 2000s. That's a power company. But yeah, so many of these classic venues are gone by the wayside with these silly corporate names.
And some of the corporate names are what we identify them by now. Like the Crypto.com Arena, it's the Staples Center. It's always going to be the Staples Center. The
right.
You know, like I said, where the Indians / Guardians play, it's always going to be Jacobs Field to a lot of people. And even the Jacobs brothers were, you know, that was the name of their company. I think it was a real estate. I think they were into real estate, but like the original Busch Stadium was named after the Busch family. The new Busch Stadium is after the Anheuser product.
Right.
So even
but yeah, but it doesn't sound as bad, I guess, because people still kind of equate the name Busch Stadium with Cardinals baseball.
Right, and you know, same goes for. I mean, the Yankees have maintained their integrity. Fenway's maintained its integrity. I bet Baltimore does some silly things, like they give the corporate naming rights to the field, but it's still Oriole Park at Camden Yards, which is something that I consider to be, you know, pretty cool. But you know, there's just a lot of like minor league ballparks do it a lot. The Charlotte Knights of the International League at the AAA level, they play in Truist Park, as do the Atlanta Braves. The Jerry Dome is AT&T Stadium, and the field in Lubbock where Texas Tech plays is Jones AT&T Stadium. So there's a lot of similar things. The Mavericks play in the American Airlines Center, whereas the Heat play in the American Airlines Arena. So, you know, you have to think, if you don't say the city, you know, you have to be very specific about, oh, you know, is that the, you know, is that the place in Dallas, or is that the place in Miami? It's funny, when I see Paul Brown Stadium, which used to be the name of the Bengals Stadium, I believe they sold out as well. I would think of the high school field in Massillon, Ohio, where Paul Brown's coached before he moved on to Ohio State, eventually the Browns, and then founding the Cincinnati Bengals.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and so it just, you know, I get it's part of life, but It was nice, though, back in the day when you had all these different stadiums that were named after people, and they just had cool names. Like, you know, for instance, the Niners used to play at a place called Kezar Stadium, which was named after this lady named Mary Kezar. So, just, you know, cool name, you know, Kezar Stadium. You don't have that anymore.
No, you don't. San Diego, they used to have the Murph, named after Jack Murphy.
Originally it was San Diego Stadium, and then it was named after Jack Murphy. But that's a cool thing, though, right? That you took a generic city sounding name of a stadium and then renamed it for a sports writer.
Well, and now that it's gone, I hope that it's remembered as the Murph and not Qualcomm, the corporate name that it held for so many years.
Yeah, I think if people will call it the Murph, or again, you know, if you want to be more generic, just refer to it as San Diego Stadium, which was the original name. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that there are certain stadiums that you know, have gotten nicknames, even if they are you know, corporate names. The Link in Philadelphia, after, you know, Lincoln Financial or whatever it is,
right?
You know, and people will definitely find nicknames. Some stadiums just keep kind of that generic name. I mean, how many names has the former Raider Stadium, current Athletic Stadium, I suppose, for now? How many names has that gone through? I recall
it's gone through a few, and technically another company has a name for it, but a lot of people just still refer to it only as the Oakland Coliseum.
Because if I say I'm at O.co, I don't even know if Overstock.com still exists. But
you don't. Well, they don't have the naming rights for it, but yeah.
And to that effect, if they don't have the naming rights, I do question their very existence. Everything's for sale. What do you feel? How do you feel about? I'll ask Jen first, but I want to hear Ryan's take on this as well. How do you feel about the jersey patches?
Oh, terrible! I mean, the Giants one's the worst. I mean, they got a huge autonomous car. This company called Cruise has the patch on for the Giants, and theirs is like so obnoxiously large, and they had to, of course, you know, give it its own space. So the Giants had a couple of pretty legendary players pass away, one being former Cleveland pitcher, Giant first, Gaylord Perry. Mm-hmm. He died, and then Vita Blue passed away about a month into the season. So they each had a circle patch that was on the right arm, and then they had to be vacated, both those patches, to the left arm above the Giants logo so they could give room to this corporate-sponsored patch, which is
the memorial has to step aside for the revenue-generating advertisement.
Yeah, past memorial for monetary, exactly. Very sad. I mean, that's the state of the nature of sports. The one thing that at least got better is at least some of these teams, they try to make their patches color, they match color-wise with the rest of the uniform for the most part.
Yeah.
I think the Mets had one that was really obnoxiously big. It was for a hospital, but then they made it smaller, and I think they changed the colors to blue and orange, so at least they matched the uniform. Yeah. But yeah, you're basically slowly but surely turning the Major League Baseball uniform into a NASCAR racing suit.
John, what's your take on that?
Kind of the same as the stadium renaming. Kind of depends on what it is. If it's something at least kind of not obnoxious, easy to pronounce, easy to remember, if the patch is not insanely obnoxious where it's taking up the entire forearm. I feel like there's been ones that I haven't really noticed, and then there's been big, giant, obnoxious ones that are just like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, well, it started with basketball, and I thought that the Cavaliers subtly did the Goodyear Tire logo, and the Celtics, it wasn't so subtle, but the GE logo kind of worked there, and the Lakers looked kind of cheesy with the Wish, and Rakuten on the Warriors jerseys. I don't know. I want to say the Suns PayPal logo looked subtle, but you know there might be a little bit of bias speaking to that. I don't want to see them. I don't want the Memphis Jaren Jackson jersey, because I don't want a John Morant jersey at this point with the FedEx logo on it. I'd rather just have that blank, and I'd rather see it blank. And you could say, you know, you could digitalize the floorboards or the scorer's table signage, all that you want. That's fine, but keep it off the field of play. Keep it off their bodies, for that matter. The NFL has only sold out to the point of practice jerseys, but you know it's coming soon to the game jerseys. And what I think is silly, Ryan, and I'm sure that you've been made aware of this at some point, the patch has to be displayed on the batter's dominant arm towards the camera, so you can't even really hide it, you know, just by virtue of being a left-handed hitter. It's based on how it will be displayed the most, and I think that's the most sickening thing of it all.
Oh yeah, that makes sense, because I was trying to figure out why some players have it on the right arm and some on the left. It's just gotten worse and worse, and even though it's part of the uniform now, I think it all started when Nike started getting their logo on the MLB jerseys on the actual jersey chest versus on the sleeves. Because I thought it was kind of cool when Rawlings had the deal and they put it on the right sleeve. I thought that was actually kind of a neat touch, but it's just gotten to the point of just absurdity now. And you know, New Era has the cap logo on the left temple, and it's bad, but what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, and I think the New Era actually beat Nike to the Maker's Mark punch as far as the Major League Baseball uniforms go. But which is not to say that you didn't see you mentioned Rawlings, but more recently the Majestic logo on the non-logo patch side, you know, which is really significant to us in Cleveland, because they went, they wore their all-star patch the first year, and the second year after removing Chief Wahoo from everything, they just wore a blank patch opposite of where the Majestic logo would have been. But by that point, Nike had taken over uniforming Major League Baseball. All right, one last break. We'll be back on the other side to say goodnight. Ryan Leon joins us from San Francisco. This is Sports Overnight America, and we'll be right back.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book, and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it?
Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America with Jeff Rich.
And welcome back, everyone. I'm Jeff Rich. This is Sports Overnight America. I was joined this hour by Ryan Leong, our sports reporter from San Francisco, and Jen Rich from the update desk and to the primary microphone. Thank you both for joining me. Jen, I know you don't necessarily talk the night away, but we're glad to have you here.
Yeah, I like hanging out.
And then, Ryan, it's been a while. We need to do this a little bit more frequently because I don't feel like – I feel like we're everything but the X's and O's when we talk. And for that reason, I am going to put a random question to the both of you. I'll throw it to Jen first quickly. If you could choose anywhere to go, where would your next vacation be?
I want to get back to Belize.
You want to get back to Belize. I am open to going to the Caribbean, to Hawaii, the non-charred parts anyway, and really anywhere but here, anywhere that there's games being played. Ryan, I know that you said it's been a while since you've had the opportunity to travel, you know, in a vacuum, like no other factors interfering. Where are you going on vacation?
Man, boy, that's a good question. Where would I like to go? I sometimes think I'd like to go to Japan. That'd be one of the places that I'd like to go.
Have you traveled internationally?
I have, but I haven't been there. Yeah, okay. It's been a while. I have a new passport I've had since the end of 2019, which is brand new. It has no stamps in it, you know. So
just a coaster at this point.
What's that now?
It's just a coaster at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
If I had the chance to get away, I mean, I'm not going to steal Jed's idea of Belize. Costa Rica would be nice to see. There's parts of Honduras that I'd like to see. I wouldn't even mind seeing the Northern Lights in Alaska, but I don't want to stay in the cold environment for a long time. So
We talked a lot of San Francisco this hour. I am with everybody that is in on the Niners. I think that they look outstanding. Small sample size, but look good on paper, and it translated to what we saw in week one. We talked about corporate naming rights and how we don't like them, and basically all the changes that we don't like. So coming up on the next Sports Overnight America, Old Man Yells at Cloud.
I'm like, stay off my lawn.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Jen. That's going to do it for us here on Sports Overnight America. Now stay tuned for more sports coming your way next hour on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.